Well, hello there, and happy Monday to you. Welcome to your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Jerry Usher will be back tomorrow. You have me today, and I definitely am going to have you as well, because I know you're going to have something to say about this question I'm about to ask, because we all can relate to this if you belong to the church, okay? And I'm going to be asking the question in just a moment, but I want to first say thank you to the show team who's in place. Matt Gabinski's at the phones. He's waiting to answer your call at 833-288-3986. We have Charles Beery at the controls. He's our producer, doing a fine job. And Michael McCall on social media. You can leave your comments there. But here's the question, and I'm kind of building it up with the suspense because I know you're going to weigh in on this and give us your takes, because this is your show. This is the safe platform for all of us to come together as the Take Two family and to share our lived experiences, our wisdom, our knowledge on the topics that we discuss. You do not have to be Catholic to call in. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, we consider you part of the family. So welcome to the family. And here is the question. Do you volunteer at church? Do you volunteer at church? Now, I just don't want you to call up and say to Matt, yes, I volunteer, and then hang up the phone. I want you to tell us, yes, you volunteer, or no, you don't volunteer. Why? What are the reasons? Yes, you volunteer. What ministry you're involved in? How that has benefited and enhanced your spiritual life? Give us the reasons why. I will show you why this is so important. Do you volunteer at church? For a couple years, I was a volunteer coordinator at my parish, and I loved it because it actually birthed my whole life coaching practice. And so I loved it because I loved matching the personality with the certain ministry. But oftentimes that doesn't happen. Here's what happens. Somebody goes up to the pastor or the minister or the preacher, and they say, okay, I want to volunteer. And they say, okay, good, because we have a festival coming up, and so we need somebody to put up tables and take down chairs, okay? And that's great to do. Don't get me wrong. I think it's wonderful. I've put up many tables, folded many chairs, broken down stages before so many times, like too many to count. But that's not what I'm talking about. When we volunteer at church, it is a ministry. And it really should meet our abilities, gifts, and talents. And a lot of the parishes in their budget cuts, they took away volunteer coordinators. And so they maybe assigned it to a certain staff member. And they said, okay, you're going to talk to people coming into the church, and you're going to place them in the right ministry. And that's all well and good. But it's really important to match the ministry with the person's particular gifts and desires of wanting to build the kingdom. And so I really want to talk about it today. So do you volunteer at church? Do you think it's the right ministry? Are you volunteering for too many things? Do you think you need to pull back on something, or are you interested in getting involved in something else? I know people all the time that sometimes the pastor will say, you should be an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. And the person says, I don't really want to do that. That's not what I want to do. I'd rather lecture, or I'd rather do something else. Let's really have a deep discussion about it. Here's the number. Fill up those phone lines on this glorious Monday, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. And first-time callers, you are always welcome. We love to hear from you. We get a lot of first-time callers from all over the world, actually. So please call in. And we do have social media available, too, that you can weigh in and tell us if you volunteer at church. And let me just share with you a couple of the comments that are already coming in. Andrea says that she's a lector, a cantor, a choir member, extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, including monthly visits to one of our three nursing homes. We rotate with other EM, substitute weekday sacristan, and gardening work. Wow, Andrea, that is amazing. That's a lot. That's one, two, three. That's like five ministries. Incredible. Jennifer says, my husband is in three choirs. the cathedral bells and diocesan officer in Knights of Columbus and helps with the picnic committee. You see, that's a lot too. That's five. See, that's like five ministries too. See, this is why we need more ministry help. Dorothy says, when our kids were younger, me and my friend cleaned the church every week and helped with summer school. By the way, art and environment is one of the things that's needed most at the churches. So if you have that creative ability, you want to, you know, decorate the inside of the church, you want to go along with the seasons of the church and really make it just burst and come alive so that the parishioners can have a deeper experience, sign up for art and environment. I did it 1 year. It was a blast. I mean, we actually, we would go into the church at like 9 o'clock at night and stay all the way till midnight and decorate. It was so much fun. And the pastor let us do so many things. He was like, just use your artistic ability. And we were like, okay, Father, no problem. And he was great. And then everything we did, he said, oh, I like that. When we knew he really didn't like that, because he had really great taste in icons. And we just did some hideous kinds of displays just because we thought they were beautiful. But, you know, he was so kind. What a great pastor. He went on to meet the Lord. But, you know, maybe your minister, your deacon, you know, a lay leader, somebody in your church that is of authority has said to you, we want you to be involved in ministry. We want you to volunteer. Maybe you said no and you regret it. Maybe you said yes and you regret it. Let's talk about it. We talk about it from all different angles. That's what Take Two is all about. It's just real, raw discussion so we can learn and grow together and build up the body of Christ together and journey together. It's the way the body of Christ works, the mystical body of Christ in action. Here's the number, 833-288-3986. You guys are all weighing in on social media today. Maureen said, I love giving back to the parish, teaching religious ed. Yeah, where's all my religious ed catechists? Come on, you guys, call in. Leading faith study groups, participating in Walking with Purpose. Oh, yes. Helping at Bingo and Respect Life Committee. Oh, that is wonderful, Maureen. Yeah, like Catholics, we kind of invented Bingo. I'm just saying. Okay, just kidding. But I feel like that. That was actually my first job. A lot of people don't know this. So if my dear friend Mary is listening in New Jersey, she's the one who got me involved. We were like eighth graders and we worked the bingo hall. It was hilarious. Although I came home smelling like cigarette smoke so bad, my mother couldn't take it. It was terrible, but we made a lot of money. We were like in eighth grade. Anyway, the number to dial is 833-288-3986. That's the number. Do you volunteer at church? Please join me today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you, I wait for you. Oh, how I love the Take Two family. You guys are so amazing. You show up for us each and every time we do these live broadcasts. We only have one open phone line, so if you feel prompted by the Spirit, please call in and share about volunteering at church. Maybe you had a really bad experience. Maybe the pastor was, you know, I don't know, kind of cranky or something. That can happen. I mean, it happens. I have a dear friend who was really hurt by our pastor. He was just in a bad mood one night, and he just, I don't know. I don't know what the problem was. He didn't hold his temper, and it really hurt her badly for years, my friend. But she went back and she ended up opening up a preschool, and she's doing great work in religious education. So, I mean, that can happen, you know, priests are human, but volunteering at the church is more about it advancing your spiritual life, because you are building up the kingdom of God. You are building up the body of Christ. You are being a productive member, and that's really important. So please call in 833-288-3986. Okay, before we go to Marie in Glendale, Arizona, let me just share this with our Take Two family. EWTN podcasts are available on Spotify. Listen to our weekday shows from the Sunrise Morning Show through Cresta in the afternoon, plus the latest weekend programming. You can find it all on the Spotify app. And that's very important. So please check that out whenever we share these social media, different platforms. It's just for your convenience. And that's wonderful. Okay, I'm waving to everybody on Facebook and YouTube. You guys got the chats going. Jerry and Debbie Facebook page is going strong. Thanks, you guys. And don't forget to like us there. We want to grow the family. And that's at Jerry and Debbie. Just find us there. But let's go to Marie in Glendale, Arizona. Oh, I'm waving to you, Marie, on YouTube. Welcome to the program. Hi, Marie.
Oh, hi, Debbie. Thank you for taking my call. I thought you asked a question if you volunteer in the church, and then he said it's unscripted. Which is it?
Oh, no, it's not unscripted. Do you volunteer in the church? Maybe you heard an old promo or something.
Okay.
It's volunteering in the church.
Okay. Well, I'm 85 years old, and I've been the weekday sacristan since I was 59, since 1998. And I'm also a Eucharistic minister. I did do the spiritual care for like 25 years, but I stopped during COVID, and I can't really walk that great anymore. And that hospital walking was just too much for me. I really missed that. That was really a great ministry. I really enjoy doing that. Mm-hmm. I try to do as much as I can. Now they need offices in the Women's Guild, and I'm twixt and tween. I was thinking of volunteering for secretary, but I got such neuropathy in my hands that I can't even write that well. So I'm thinking about that, and I'm praying on that. I don't know what to do about that.
Sure. Let me ask you a question, Maria, about being a weekday sacristan. So obviously you go to daily mass. What does that entail? How many hours? And do you need any special training for? Because I know a lot of people would like to maybe step up to being a sacristan.
Yeah, I've been doing it. I've been doing the Tuesdays like for 25 years, and then they had an old lady doing an older. And I shouldn't say an old lady because that's what I am. But you know, they had an older person doing it on Thursday, and she quit, and then they had four people. Then after COVID, I took on the, because I stopped going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. We did need special training on that. I mean, they just gave us, we just went one Saturday for an hour and got trained,
Right.
I mean, every priest has their own way of doing things. Now, this is the fourth priest I've been working for, you know, and unfortunately, my heart is broken because I think I told you about this priest from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And that he was having problems. Now Bishop Dolan is transferring him, and we're going to get so upset that he's losing his pastorship. He's going back to being a priest. Mm-hmm. So we got to keep him in our prayers. Put Father Adimani on your prayer list.
Absolutely. We always pray for all the priests, Marie. But let me get back to this for a minute on the sacristan before I let you go. So you are responsible for things that happen in the back sacristy, for cleaning the vessels, preparing the altar, preparing for the liturgy. That those are important tasks. Are there prayers associated with being a sacristan?
You got to appreciate. You got to get the credence table ready for the mass with the vessels and all that stuff. And you got to There's things like getting the books ready. You got to get the right, you got to open up the books to the right pages. And right now the priest wants the fan on, so I got to do that, And then I do also go up there for the washing of the hands when they have that, because there's no altar service during the week, so it's just me, So I go up there for washing of the hands,
Okay, yeah. So that's very interesting. And in your parish in Arizona, is the pastor still asking for volunteers, or do you have an abundance of volunteers? I'm just curious on ministry participation in your particular parish.
Actually, for the weekday sacristan, I do have people that help me during the week, too.
A couple
of people come in and help me. But it's just me. They don't need any more sacristans during the week. Mm-hmm. Probably maybe for Sunday, because on Sunday they rotate them, and they have different sacristans. Mm-hmm. But it's just during the week, it's just me right now. And it's just me. We have two parishes. We have St. Raphael's and Our Lady of the Valley in Phoenix. I mean, that's our sister parish. We have another person. Louise is the sacristan over there. For those days, they have mass, and I'm the sacristan at St. Raphael's.
Yeah. Well, Marie, I got to tell you, you're a beautiful soul. You're giving of your time, your talent. I'm sure you give of your treasure. Marie, that's amazing. God bless you for stepping up and being part of the parish community to build those two parishes, and to especially on the weekdays. I hope you have many more years, Marie, but don't stretch yourself too thin, because you got to pace yourself, but I'm sure you know how to do that. But that is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for stepping in and sharing and enhancing this conversation. Very important work you're doing as a sacristan, Marie. God bless you. Thank you for calling in. And we'll pray for Father, too, and all the priests. So also, too, Marie just freed that phone line. Rob was on from Memphis, Tennessee. Rob, if you want to call back, I'd love to hear what you have to say. So, Rob, if you want to call back, that's fine. If not, the line is open for somebody to step in and answer the question just like Marie did. Do you volunteer at church? Okay, so I already got a question that has come in from one of our Take Two family members asking how many, when I was involved at the church, was I involved also volunteering in ministry? The answer is yes. When I was working at the church, I worked for 25 years at the parish level in several different parishes. I transferred around. And I also volunteered for ministry. So I was an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. I was also a lector. I was also in the choir. If my friend Laura is listening from Nebraska, you'll remember those great choir days. We had a blast. I also was involved in marriage prep, volunteer coordination, liturgy. I mean, so yes, we were asked to not only work at the parish, but also volunteer. Now, when I first started, before I was a paid worker at the church, I had five ministries going as well. And religious education, let me not forget, I can't forget religious education. I always did something above and beyond in religious education that wasn't a paid position. So I love religious ed. I just love formation all the way from the little ones all the way to adults. And I also am trained in catechesis of the Good Shepherd, the levels there. So yeah, we had the pastors that I worked for, they were very big on ministry. Oh, I forgot. And I was an adorer for adoration. So we had pastors that were constantly encouraging us to volunteer. Now they didn't want us to stretch so far that we were going to burn out. But we had, back in the day when parish ministry was very flourishing and vibrant and active, we had a lot of training that went along. After COVID, I think a lot of that ceased, which is very unfortunate. I wish it would come back. But you know, we have to work with what we're dealing with, and you know, that's just the way it is. But I just wanted to share, because you guys are asking if I was involved in ministry. Am I still today? Yes. Well, my husband's in a fourth degree Knight of Columbus. And yes, I do teach and talk at various ministry groups to help out with to grow their ministry. And so that's what I do as a form of volunteer. Okay, so there's Rob's calling back. I'm so glad. Rob, I'm going to hold on because Matt's got to answer the call. So I'll get to Judy in Houston, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Judy. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Actually, Judy, let me tell you something. I had a lousy weekend. I'm just going to tell you. It was just, I don't know why. Everything just went wrong. But I feel better today being with the Take Two family. But thank you for asking.
Good. We had a wet weekend here in Houston.
Oh, you did? It was raining?
Yes. Thunderstorms and flooding and a lot of stuff. Starting mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even yesterday. But it looks like it's sunny now for the next at least 10 days, so.
Oh, good, good. Hey, Judy, real quickly on a side note, Adam Bly and I are going to be in Houston in July for the speaker series for Guadalupe Radio Network. So check it out on the website. Maybe I can meet you.
You? Hmm? Were you just here too? Or
no? No, we were in Dallas.
Oh, okay. Yes, I want to see it. I got something in the mail on it.
Oh,
from
good.
My Guadalupe neighborhood thing. I would love to come and see you.
Good, good. And make sure you come up and say, I'm Judy from Houston, and then I can give you a hug. Okay, so go ahead. Tell me about volunteer ministry.
Well, so I am, I've been doing, I did religious education for a long, long time, but I moved to a new parish 6 years ago. And I started with Eucharistic minister, and I really wanted to do the lecturing, and I did a lot of lecturing, but I'm still doing both lecturing and Eucharistic ministry. They really need me more on the Eucharistic ministry side, so I do that more so than the lecturing. Mm-hmm. And I'm part of the pastoral council, and I'm on the Family Fun Night Committee, and we do a lot of things. So they wanted me to be a chair, and I was like, no, I'm not ready to do that, because it's a lot. We have something going all the time. Either
wow.
displays out in the mm-hmm. church narthex, or we did a dance, the sock hop in September, and then we always do an Easter egg hunt, and mm-hmm. a lot of times we do things inside too, where we have different little booths where they can, you know, see the different stations of the cross or mm-hmm. the resurrection, and you know what happens at Easter, and a lot of stuff. We are really a pretty active parish, considering we're not as big as some of them in Houston.
Okay. Well, that's so interesting. And you just reminded me, I was on pastoral council for 3 years too. I was on the executive committee. So I forgot about that too. It's interesting when you go from ministry to ministry, you tend to forget, because you just are kind of always doing something in the church, right, Judy?
Well, and you know, it's funny because I was with the largest parish in Houston. And when I moved to this side of town, it's not small, but it's smaller than what I'm used to. And I feel like I know so many more people, and I'm just so much more just comfortable with everybody. You know, it's like, hi, you know, it's like you're meeting old friends all the time.
It's so funny you said that, Judy. So I went to a parish last night that I haven't been to in a while, and I used to minister there over 20 years ago. This is no joke, Judy, so you can totally relate to this. This gentleman who was sitting in the same seat that he has always sat in for every single Sunday night mass, he was sitting there, and he waved to me as if we just saw each other yesterday. Isn't that beautiful how people remember when you do volunteer?
That is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. It was so cool. And I thought, wow, it's like no time, you know, had taken place. It was like, it was amazing. But I think that's the beauty of when we do minister, like you said, we get to know one another. We get to build up the parish together. It becomes family. And it's very welcoming. I think it's a wonderful thing when we get off the sidelines and become active in the parish. What do you say to that?
I would agree. Mm-hmm. Everybody should get involved with the parish, and then we would have so many more helping hands, and things would be accomplished so easily.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, did you know they did a survey 10 years ago on Catholic radio, and people that listen to Catholic radio, they tend to go back to their parish and volunteer. So that's why all of Catholic churches should get behind Catholic radio, because it's only going to build the volunteer base. I think it's wonderful. Judy, God bless you. I hope I get to meet you in July. Thank you so much for calling in from Houston, Texas, and have a beautiful week, okay? Wonderful. Okay, Judy just freed that phone line. Who's going to pick it up? Can it be you? Will it be you? I hope it's you. 833-288-3986. Do you volunteer at church? Tell us the good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, let me tell you something. Sometimes volunteer opportunities don't work out really well. I've had pastors and lay leaders have to tell volunteers to leave because they wouldn't go through safe environment. They wouldn't do this. They wouldn't do that. They didn't obey the rules. And you had to be dismissed from that position. It's happened. I was a religious education trainer, and there were a few catechists that I'm like, nah, I don't think you can be a lead catechist. That's not going to work out. And that's a tough thing to tell somebody that, because when they're volunteering their time, it really hurts them. So normally what you try to do is place them into another ministry. But let's talk about it. Maybe that happened to you. Maybe you were dismissed from your volunteer position at the church and it really hurt you. Okay, let's talk about it today and see if you can have a different outlook, and maybe you'll try it again. 833-288-3986. When I come back, guess who I'm going to? I'm going to Rob in Memphis, Tennessee, who called back. Thank you so much, Rob. Hang on for just another couple minutes. I'll be right back on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Do you volunteer at church? Call in. Do you volunteer at church? That's the question I'm asking today on Take Two. Jerry will be back tomorrow. I need you today, so please call in 833-288-3986. Thanks for making my Monday so special. I just love the calls already. You guys are amazing, Marie and Judy. And now we're going to go to Rob, who called back. This is a great way to start out the week. So Rob called back from Memphis, Tennessee, Sirius XM 130. And let me just make sure, Matt, I'm sorry, Rob, before I get to you, let me just make sure there's, okay, real quickly, don't move, Rob. Congratulations going out to another member of the EWTN radio family. The Rock, AM 1260 in Cleveland, is celebrating 9 years with EWTN. Congratulations to Bernadette Boguski and her great team at Cleveland Catholic Radio from your friends here at EWTN. I have been with The Rock assisting with pledge drives for almost the whole time, and I just love AM 1260 The Rock. So congratulations, you guys. I feel like you're a second family to me. You guys are amazing. Father Doug Brown, the chaplain there, has been on Take Two and the Spirit World. So a very special group in Cleveland. Congratulations. Okay, Rob, in Memphis, Tennessee, you waited so patiently. Call back. You're amazing. You get the virtual award today. I don't know what the award is, but just use your imagination, Rob. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. God bless you all for this show and all the callers bringing information to all of us and spreading the news. My comment is we not only should, but we have an obligation to donate time to our church. That's our home. That's our family. Mine started back almost 20 years ago, about in 05. I had the parish priest come to me. The guy who'd been making coffee and for Sunday coffee and donuts dropped the pot. He'd gotten too old to carry the pot, and he dropped the pot. And Father said, "Can you help him?" Next thing I knew, I said, "Hey, I'll just take it." And then the next thing I knew, the deacon who was very old, who was unlocking the church, I had the keys to the church at that point. I said, "You just sleep in, and I'll take care of the church." And next thing I know, I was the sacristan. And then became the daily sacristan, unlocked the church 7 days a week, and is the greatest blessing I've ever had in my life. Walk into that church at 5:15 in the morning, 5 or 6 days a week, and at 6 o'clock on Sundays, and just it's just me and the man, and it's just amazing, and what people miss out on not donating their time to the church, they just don't know. They have no clue how much they're missing out on.
Wow, Rob. I'm so glad you called back because you're spot on. I remember opening up the church at like 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and you know, it's just you and Jesus. And you're like, wow, this is so cool. I mean, this is amazing. And we had, I don't know if you have perpetual adoration at your parish, but we had perpetual adoration. And so I would go into the chapel afterwards and see a few folks adoring our Lord and Savior in the Most Holy Eucharist. And I was like, okay, this is totally awesome. Did you ever have those feelings like that?
Yes, I did that for a number of years before COVID, and then COVID came around and things have changed up both in my world and the church world. But I went to a different church for about a month that had a lady up front led the rosary half an hour before the Mass started. And I said, when I get back to my parish, that's what I'm going to do. So 7 days a week, a half an hour before the first Mass of the day, I lead the rosary for whoever's in the church. And it just, that's just one more blessing. People just don't understand, the more you give to the church, the more you're blessed. It comes straight back at you. And that's not why I do it. I do it because it's a responsibility, but it's not work at all. It's joy.
Well, and the more you become invested in the parish community, and the closer you get to God through the people of God, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
These people that are at 6:15 Mass every day and are at 7:30 Mass on Sundays, these are the ones that are really, in fact, at one point we had three couples that all had been married for at least 60 years. Wow. Coming to Mass every day.
Wow. Wow. And it's so interesting, too, when you see the daily Mass goers, right, Rob? And then, you know, maybe somebody might move or pass, or they might pass, they might die. And then all of a sudden, it feels strange, right? You're like, oh, that person should be sitting in that seat on a Monday morning. It's just, it's odd. You really do miss that presence, right?
Exactly. And mm-hmm. and then you also find people, in fact, mine's kind of funny. My dentist sits right behind me. My GP sits 6 pews behind me, and my ortho sits 2 pews behind him. So I got all my medical taken care of every day. You know, if I need something, I can just stop off and say, "Hey, this is going on."
Right.
That's really cool. But that's a blessing also into knowing that your GP is a daily communicant.
Yeah, the guy
that leads the Visitor and Convention Bureau in Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. No one across the country, because he flies out of here constantly.
Right.
If he's in town, he's at 6:15 Mass every morning. That's something that people in Memphis don't even know, that they have this guy that's so faith-filled, that's in Mass every morning, that is helping lead the city of Memphis. And
wow.
It's just wonderful.
See, that is cool to know that. You know, I feel the same way about, there's a special person that I know and have known for quite some time, and he goes to the same Mass I do, and he's in our Arizona Supreme Court. And so I feel the same way. It's like, do people know how active he is in the church? You know what I mean? It's so interesting. I agree with you. And then to know that a medical professional like that, who's helping your city, your town, and he's a daily Mass goer. Wow. That means he has stepped it up a lot in his faith. Way to go, Rob. Thank you so much for encouraging all of us that it is an obligation. It is a privilege. It is an opportunity for us to grow in holiness, to serve at the church. Rob, you're awesome. Awesome. Thanks for calling back, and have a beautiful week. And you really enhance this conversation. So God bless you. Okay, we're going to go to Christine. And Christine has been waiting so patiently in Indiana on EWTN.com. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Debbie. Thank you for letting me say something. I've tried to volunteer in various different things. I've sung in the choir and some things like that. But it seems like every time I do, there is like a complete block and attack. The most recent one, and this is a necessity, you know, our whole safe children system is a necessity, obviously. Mm-hmm. But what I volunteered to help with confirmation class, my friend who was leading it,
mm-hmm.
and I had to go through our diocese, the whole safe child thing, and it was online. It was all online. And I seriously felt like I had to have a doctorate before I could even complete this. The amount of reading, and it was just pages and pages and pages mm-hmm. of reading. And I know that in our diocese, it is contracted out to some company. And finally, I sent an email saying, this is just not, you know, possible, not to a normal person. I'm not a doctorate student. Reading stuff is not my profession. It's not what I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a huge block. I never was able to complete it. It's been a year now. I was never able to complete it. And for that reason, I'm not able to volunteer with anything involving the children. Now, one could say, okay, well, that was divine providence. I'm not supposed to. Mm-hmm. Fine, fair enough. But then again, you know, how do you discern between, okay, is this the demons trying to block me, or is this, I'm sure. just, you know, the Lord closing the door?
Mm-hmm.
And once before I volunteered in the choir, I can sing. I sung in high school and in college anyway. And all of a sudden I couldn't sing. I was flat as a pancake.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I do have a motto. I've had this ever since my husband served 30 years in the military, and volunteering is huge for the spouses in the military. My motto is, if you want to complain about something that other people are doing and, you know, our volunteers are doing, then just step up and volunteer yourself. So volunteering mm-hmm. has always been a thing for me.
Right.
But I've just got these blocks that come against me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Christine, let me share something with you. If you have a desire to serve the church, you should be able to serve the church in some capacity. So what I would do is take it to prayer and reapply to areas that you feel called to, whether that is music or some other area, religious education. And if you hit those roadblocks with the child protection or safe environment training, call the parish and let them know you'd like to do an in-person interview and training if they have it. Because usually some parishes in the diocese will have an in-person, which is much easier than online sometimes, with less kind of that overwhelming reading that it takes part in the training. I know this because I was a safe environment trainer for several years. It is a necessary thing in our church just to make sure everybody has gone through the training so they can cover all their bases and make sure they say that everybody's been vetted and everybody's been checked and interviewed and so on and so forth, and so that nobody gets involved in ministry that could be harmful to another vulnerable adult or child or something of that nature. But I wouldn't look at it like the block is there to prevent you, or maybe divine providence, or even that the demons don't want you to do it. I think if you're called to serve, which I believe we all are in some way, I would pursue it again and just find a creative way to do the work that you want to do to build up the body of Christ in the church and participate. And I believe that now is a great time to do it, because at post-pandemic, the churches are in need of more volunteers. And so I think you will be definitely welcome. And I think there may be easier ways to fulfill all the requirements and then start doing the fine work that you can give of your time and your talent. What do you say to that, Christine? I think you should keep pursuing it because you have a ministry heart. I can tell by the way you're talking.
Thank you. I will. I will try and do it. And again, and what I would say, though, is quite honestly, the safe parish, you know, just by reading things online and answering mm-hmm. questions, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, I don't think that is truly serving safety of the children. I think that really needs to be in-person classes. I don't think, mm-hmm. I mean, because quite honestly, if, okay, for me it was difficult, but, you know, some people are devious, and what if somebody wants to work with children and get around the system?
Yeah. Well, but Christine, it used to all be in person. When I was a trainer, it wasn't online at all. Now it's online for convenience for people, because there were so many, you know, complaints and people saying they couldn't get to the classes, and then they couldn't fill the ministries. It was a mess. But I will tell you, you're right. It still comes back to the ministry leaders to keep a kind of an eagle eye, a watchful eye, in conducting their ministry. I have to say, in 25 years, and I just know it was my guardian angels protecting the ministry work. I was a lay leader in ministry for 25 years, and I was very blessed because I felt like the guardian angels helped me in so many ways to keep people away from the ministry that could harm the children. And believe me, we did have a few people that actually were told to leave the ministry, other ministries, because there were problems. And for some reason, and I believe it was the angels, protected the ministry that I was working in for 25 years, all the years in all the different churches. I'm very blessed in that area. I know some of my ministry friends, they weren't as fortunate. They had some really tragic situations of various incidences, but we didn't have that. So Christine, you're spot on. It still falls back on the pastor, the ministry leaders, and everybody at the church to really be watching and seeing who's coming into the campus, who's coming on campus, and who's coming into ministry. I couldn't agree with you more. But Christine, I have a feeling you're going to call back in about a couple weeks, and you're going to say you found a ministry that you really love. I just have a feeling. And will you do that? Because I want to praise God.
I will. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. God bless you. You're a wonderful soul. I love talking to you. Thank you, Christine. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Okay, before we go back to the phones, let me share this about for our folks to join us for Open Line on Monday on this afternoon. at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with Father John Trigilio. It's a great show. Please check it out, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, by the way, we're going to highlight St. Dominic Savio today as the saint of the day. I know there's many saints like St. Francois, but St. Dominic Savio, his mentor was John Bosco. I was telling Charles Beery, it doesn't get any better than that. But he died at such a young age, and he was so holy. So St. Dominic Savio, please pray for all of us. And he was studying to be a priest. So obviously he was in ministry. So please, we always remember the saints of the day. Louise is in Fort Worth, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network, the app. Hi, Louise. Welcome.
Hi there. You can hear me, right?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, so I'm on the other side of this volunteer work. I have been at my parish for well over 30 years, and I've always been involved in some way. And a couple of years ago, I discerned into the parish council. And soon after I was appointed, our priest left because he got assigned to something else, basically a promotion, and a new priest came in. And the staff has been so cruel. Mm-hmm. And I have always heard of church politics, and it's so sad to me because it's my parish and I love it. And they have succeeded in bad-mouthing the priest enough to get him reassigned. And mm-hmm. And this just happened, and I'm having a really hard time knowing what to do because it's my parish and I'm not happy with what they've done, and they've basically right. broken this man, and I don't know how to react. You know, my first thing is leave, but I don't want to leave. It's my church. So I'm just looking kind of for advice and maybe mm-hmm. prayers too for us sure. At this parish, because it's very difficult.
Sure. Okay. Couple things. Here's what happens. Just like with priests, you know, Jerry Usher talks about it all the time. When a priest is ordained, there's like a target on his back. You know, the demons are coming after the priest. And that's why it's important for the priest to stay very rooted in prayer and be in that state of grace, you know, to be protected. The same thing is true for, this is what I believe, Louise, only because I worked with a parish staff for 25 years. The same thing is true with the parish staff. Okay. When people get hired on to at the church, they automatically feel like, well, holiness is just a part of it, right? Because I'm here on campus every single day. I'm right here with Jesus, you know. And oftentimes, Louise, these same, I'm not saying for all staff, so please don't send me emails and say my staff is very holy. I understand that. There are great staffs. But typically what happens is when you're so close to the divine and so close to the environment, you tend to just take it for granted, meaning that you just are on campus. So, you know, you just feel like, okay, I'm doing God's work. When prayer starts to lessen, the practices, the virtues start to kind of diminish a bit, because it's this same thing that happens where you just are doing it every single day, that you just kind of feel like, well, since I'm here, it just must be that this is a good holy place, and I'm going to be on the road to sainthood. But you still have to work at it. And I had a wonderful pastor for 5 years that said to all of the staff, if you think you're going to become complacent, if you think you're just going to sit back and just because you have an office on campus here and you think you know it's so great, you're wrong. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to pray. I need you to go to an hour adoration. So you see what I'm saying, Louise? What I would suggest is that particular parish or your particular parish just kind of needs to refocus and to really get back to prayer and devotion and understanding what it means to be Catholic. And then you add on the fact that they work for the parish. And so when those priorities are a little bit off, you'll have this. And remember, the demons know where to enter in. They know the cracks. So if they see a parish secretary or a parish religious education director not praying, not going to adoration, not going to mass, not doing this, not doing that, okay, the demons know where to go in. And then here comes the problems with the human vices that take place. So you see where I'm going with it, Louise? It really is an unfortunate thing that happens at the parish level. I will tell you, I've experienced the same thing. I worked with several, I worked with wonderful folks that I'm still friends with. I feel like we are sisters and they're phenomenal. But I've also worked with parish staff that they're just cruel. They're mean as all get out. But I think it's not because they are mean. I think it's because the demons have really chipped away at who they are and who they are supposed to be in Christ Jesus. What do you say to that, Louise, first?
Oh, I totally agree with you. You're saying exactly what I'm thinking is that the evil one has infiltrated that, and they're so focused on themselves mm-hmm. that they have forgotten about the parish. They've forgotten about what their role is as being basically the face of the church. And it's very difficult. And yeah, I've got to go there tomorrow, and I have to not be mean, right? Not be mean right back.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Here's what I would suggest. If you're on the parish committee there, the pastoral committee, what I would suggest to your group is just to say, not that you would do this, but rather than criticize the parish staff, suggest that they go for some kind of retreat or some weekend where they can have some team building, and have a really deep priest lead it to get them to refocus and understand that they're trying to do this for God, for the glory of God. So everything they do to a fellow parishioner, they're going to have to be accountable for. So you want to kind of do that and give them a chance to reset if you can. I know that that has worked brilliantly in the diocese that I live in one of the parishes, that they sent everybody on retreat and they came back all new people and had a whole good ministry mindset. So if maybe that's what I would do. And then you could generally write a letter to the bishop or something, just saying you love the staff. You just want them to be better, always trying to challenge people to be better. What do you say?
I like that.
Okay. Oops. She said, I like that. And then we just got disconnected. Sometimes that happens. But she said she likes it. So that's good. So thank you so much, Louise. And keep us posted. If you're listening, keep us posted on how that works out, because I want your parish to be the best it can be. Okay. Paula in North Dakota on Real Presence Radio. Welcome to the program. Hello, Paula.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Hi. I really like to be involved in just about anything or everything, and I believe in getting my kids involved as well. It shows them a different side of the church, maybe places they don't even see. Like in cleaning, they go down in the basement, pull out the boxes. They get to touch the statues because they're putting a cloak on the infant frog. I see volunteering as important for my kids too. They see me serving mm-hmm. and then they want to get involved in decorating. So then they get to touch the pieces, the holy water sound fonts that we decorate at the entrance of the door. They touch them. They're up close with them more.
Right. I couldn't agree more. And I loved how you said that you're modeling it. You're an example for the youth to see how we give back, we participate, we build up the body of Christ. I love that, Paula. Way to go. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective on this. I appreciate it. I'm going to try to squeeze in two more calls before we end the show. Brian in Albany, New York on Sirius XM 130. Take it away.
Hello?
Hello, Brian. Go right ahead. I have a minute.
Yes, I just want to share a quick story how I got involved in the music ministry at church. I retired a couple of years ago, and I made it a point to get very active in going to church regularly. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for Mass to start, and I had prayed to the Holy Spirit asking how I could get better involved with the church. When Mass started, the organist had called out sick, and Father had to sing a cappella. And that was my answer from the Holy Spirit. I called the music director, and now I'm play guitar and cantor regularly at the church.
Wow. Oh, praise God. That is awesome. Way to go, Brian. Thank you so much for sharing. That is totally cool. Yeah, see how God works. God puts everything at the right time, at the right place, so that we can step in and say yes. Thank you, Brian. William from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm not going to get to you because I only have a minute, but you really do need to share your story about being a victim of a crime 15 years ago, and you're trying to start a prison taxi ministry. Wow, that is incredible, William. Please email us the details of that. Take2@EWTN.com. Everybody on YouTube and Facebook, you guys are awesome. I'm sending you virtual hugs and all those heart emojis and all those things, so to say have a happy Monday. You guys are incredible. Tomorrow, Jerry will be back, and oh boy, here we go, a really deep topic. Do you struggle with the past? Ooh, do you struggle with the past? Thank you to the show team, Matt and Michael and Charles. You guys are amazing. St. Dominic Savio, we ask, please pray for all of us. And until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.